Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the Christmas version of the Midweek Howl is now in session. Howler, are you ready for Christmas?
I got a bunch of food and a bunch of stuff bought. So, you know,
As an American, you're ready for Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know. How do you get prepared, right? It's about the best way. How do you get prepared?
I don't know. When we're recording this, I got to go to our first of, I don't know how many family Christmases that we have on the schedule this year, but Izzy was leaving to go check out the horse, and she goes, "Mom says we got to get dressed up. And I said, well.
To go see the people you see all the time or you're related to, that's what always gets me. Dude, I'm related to them. You think they think I'm not a slob?
Yeah, they
just
ought to know.
Because I put some good stuff on today, you know?
Yeah, they ought to know by now, right?
I don't know.
I just simply told Iz, I said, the whole goal for Christmas is to keep your mom happy. And I said, if we can keep your mom happy, then I said, we're doing good. And she's I don't like it. She goes, I'm going to fight with her about it. And I'm like, just please don't.
You know, I look at it a little more tactically. Because I'll be honest with you, I wear the same shirts 9 out of 10 days. And it's not that I'm wearing the same shirt. It's, you know, I buy a lot of stuff, and I don't want to say their name because they don't pay us anything. So, but I get on there when it's half price, or, you know, when they, like right now, the short sleeve t-shirts are on sale. So if they have my size, if there's two extra large talls, usually what I buy. So if there's one for less than $15, I'll buy five of them. But I usually end up with the same color, right? So
yeah.
Last so it looks year, like five just of the green. You know what I mean? Just so it looks like I'm wearing the same shirt, but it's because I got five of them. But, you know, when I was back to the rail on you at Christmas or something, it reminds me when I was in the academy, my boots, I think I told the story, my boots were terrible, right? So we'd have these inspections on Friday at a certain point of the time when you can go home on the weekends. You have an in-ranks inspection. You have to stand at attention outside your dorm room, and they come and they inspect you in your uniform, and then they go in your room and then trash your stuff out. But they would get to me, and I would fail my inspection every week because of my boots, right? And right before I graduated, I had this lieutenant ask me, he said, what's the deal with your boots, man? You just don't understand how to shine them things, or you can't get help, or you can't what? And I said, no, you never looked any further, did you? He goes, what do you mean? I said, never failed my room. Because once you fail, you fail. So when I go to one of these family deals, I go to some functions and my clothes look like crap. They don't talk about anything else but my clothes. You know, because then if you look good, then they're going to look, what are you driving? And you drive something good, okay, you know what I mean? It's like they pick you apart. Fail right off the bat. I'm wearing the same green t-shirt I had last time I was here. Leave me alone.
Okay. All right. Well, with that piece of holiday advice, I'm curious to see how many of our listeners follow that advice in this year at Christmas. That would be a great case study. But Howler, we have a great guest today.
I seen that. I seen him a while ago on the video. It looks good. He looks like somebody I'm related to. It was like he could come to one of my functions and say, well, who's that?
Is that because he had a green shirt on or what?
No, just because the way he looked. Dark hair, you know, kind of a little beard, scruffy. Yeah, he just looked like everybody I'm related to.
And should we, dare we say, kind of handsome, kind of ruggedly handsome?
Well, I was going to say that. I was, okay. You know, but I was saving that because beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right?
Okay. So, all right. So, well,
more.
Well, as I explained to our guest, you know, we're going to bring him on here. I have no idea how a comment he made on some Facebook post. I don't even know what the post is. I don't even know. But it was a comment that told his experiences in life, or at least two of them, and we'll probably get into some more of them, that I found so fascinating, especially from where I grew up in Ohio. We're going to bring on Jason Weber. Jason, welcome to the Midweek Howl on the From the Shadows podcast.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be on here.
So like we kind of talked, so I'm from Northwest Ohio, and growing up, I lived way out in the sticks, and our listeners are all of our, I mean, I'm assuming you're in the same age range as me and the Howler, our younger kids, fans, they won't understand this. Is, you know, we grew up, we had like an antenna for television, and you could only get ABC, NBC, CBS, and maybe PBS of whatever town you were the closest to. And where I grew up, it was Toledo, Ohio. Okay. All my friends, they got Cleveland or Columbus. I got stuck with Toledo. And I shouldn't say I got stuck, because Toledo then kind of grew on me a little bit, and I came to find out it was kind of a cool, it's kind of a really cool town. But you have a part of Toledo's history that when I saw what one of your jobs were one of the jobs that you had, it brought back a lot of memories. And it was seemed, on one hand, on the surface, polar opposite of another job that you have that is kind of regional. But then again, as I started doing some more reading and remembering, it's almost like the same thing.
It's pretty like, much.
So do you want to kind of explain a little bit about yourself and then kind of what it was that you, what brought you to Ohio and how you
doing
what you're doing?
I've had some pretty interesting career, and in 2004 I first came to Ohio. I was living in Detroit at the time. I just graduated from college. I got a journalism degree from Wayne State University, and my first job out of college was getting a job with the Toledo City Paper, which is alternative news weekly of Toledo. And so I was editor of City Paper for like 4.5 years. And then I wanted to basically make more money, because there is no money in journalism. So I got a job as the public information officer for Mayor Carlton S. Finkbeiner, better known as Carty Finkbeiner. And Carty was, is a interesting cat. He he's just he's known for his temper. He's known for his rather unorthodox approach to governing a city. And for 9 months I worked for this man, and my job was to make him look good. And at the end of that 9 months I had PTSD really bad, and it was a 9 month gestation process. That at the end of that 9 months I was a man, that's for sure.
Well, first of all, I hate to say this, but Carlton is a kind of a cool first name. Why would you go by Carty?
I don't know. I think he went by Carty because he was just trying to be kind of like, so I do like a everyman kind of thing. You're like, oh, that's Carty, you know, and just, I don't know. I always called him Carlton behind his back. So,
I mean, just the last name Finkbeiner.
Oh yeah.
Too. And I'm not, you know, it's lowbrow to make fun of a guy's last name, but that stands out so much in and of itself. So explain, you know, explain to our listeners, like, what happened, like, and I don't know what time period exactly the controversies you may have been involved in that you had to explain away,
right.
But Like, how did his temper get him in trouble, or his mouth?
God, where do I begin? Finkbeiner, he was mayor three times, and he was mayor twice in the 90s and then once in the 2000s. And during his first term, he made the national news, like on the Daily Show and other talk shows, because there were people who were complaining about, who lived next to Toledo Airport, and people were complaining about the noise pollution from the planes taking off and landing. And Finkbeiner publicly floated the idea of moving all of the deaf people in Toledo over by the airport, so that they wouldn't be bothered by the planes taking off. And he was serious. He later tried to backpedal by saying it was just an idea that I thought had some merit, but needless to say, the hearing impaired in Toledo did not find that very funny. And it became his trademark, the deaf people by the airport comments. And now, that was years before I ever came to Toledo, but when I got the job as his PIO, that was that incident was still his most famous moments, you know. And
I'm looking, he called for a boycott of Little Caesars. I like that he shaved $10 off the city. He had the contractor remove $10 from the city bid to get it below the threshold for the council to vote on.
That's
old school. Was he a Democrat? He must have been a Democrat.
He was
good at sharpening a pencil like that.
Oh yeah. But Carney was kind of a political weather vane. He started out as a Republican in the 70s, then he went as an independent, and then ultimately he went as a Democrat. But yeah, he's been all three. He's been several different parties.
But people liked him, apparently, if they elected him three times.
The third time he got elected, which was in 90, I'm sorry, which was in 2007, I believe, which was the term I worked for him. He replaced the incumbent mayor, Jack Ford, who Ford really had a very soft governing style. You know, he wasn't very energetic. And people responded to Carney's energy, so he won the his third term basically because people were tired of Jack Ford. But as soon as Carney got into office that third time, he was up to his old tricks, and up to it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So one thing that he did was a squad of Marines that were doing urban training in downtown Toledo. So these were people in combat fatigues and everything, and they had weapons and everything, and they were learning how to engage in combat in the inner city. Well, Finkbeiner was terrified of this, and he said that it's going to scare people and everything. So he threw the Marines out of downtown Toledo. He said, "You guys can't train here anymore." And that pissed everybody off because, Toledo is very much a pro-military town.
Sure. And Klinger was from Toledo. So
that's right.
I mean, you can't. Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, was I in high school before I realized there was another town in Ohio besides Toledo?
Yeah. Oh, geez, really?
Yes, because of MASH. My mom was a big MASH person, and sure. I thought Toledo had to be the capital and everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've interviewed Jamie Farr a couple times.
So what intrigued me more than the threw the Marine Reservists out was the police chief resigned 6 months into his brief tenure because of a near physical confrontation with the mayor. And I'm trying to think, is that a strong mayor or is that a weak police chief? You would think If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
The police chief was scared of him.
The police chief, yeah. The police chief, that happened before. That happened before I worked for Cardi. But what happened was, is that during a staff meeting, Finkbeiner was saying, talking crap about the police chief's job and the job he was doing. And the police chief got up and the word around the campfire is that they almost got into a fist fight. And what was funny is that the first thing that Cardi did when he got into office was fire the former police chief, Mike Navarre. And he imposed this other guy. I think his name was Jack Smith. And so Cardi almost got into a fist fight with this police chief that he himself appointed.
His handpicked guy.
Yeah, his handpicked guy. And it was like 6 months into it. And the police chief was like, screw this, I quit. And Cardi had to hire back Mike Navarre as his chief of police, who he fired the first time.
Oh, God. And he had to be like, I saw he's like 83 now. So he had to be in his 70s when all this is taking
place. Yes. Yeah.
I can't get over. I want to know how big was the fire chief that he, I mean, listen.
Why, he had a problem with the fire chief too? Oh,
yeah. Mike that? Bell. Oh,
go ahead and tell this one.
Yeah. This also happened before I came along, but he called, he referred to Mike Bell as, I believe it was King Kong. And Mike Bell is a very, very tall black man. And it pissed off a lot of people in the staff meeting. And Cardi was like, well, I was just kidding. I was just saying what a big guy he was and everything. But, you know, when you're a mayor, you can't really, you have to watch your P's and Q's. And
well, I was just thinking maybe he set his sights a little low on Toledo. He might have been able to run as a national in a national office with that, you know, he could have been running for president if he would have.
Absolutely.
He might have been a little before his time.
Yeah.
A little before his
time. Yeah. That campaign might have some legs.
I don't even know. He could be, listen, I don't know if somebody that announced that they were running again, he might be a good vice presidential candidate.
Yeah, you never know.
Really, really mix things up.
He might be.
Cardi actually did run for mayor again. I think it was either last year or the year before, but he did run for a fourth term. And he did not win. Wade Kapusiewicz, the incumbent, trounced him. But Cardi did go for a fourth term, believe it or not.
I want to know, this is one anecdote on Wikipedia, okay? I got to know if you were the person that had to put out this fire. But it said in June of 2009, a video surfaced showing Finkbeiner breaking up a fight in Highland Park, calling one boy Fatso, Tubby, or...
Yes. I didn't. I remember that well. No, I did not have to put out that fire. I got laid off just before that that transpired. So I missed that one. But yes, Cardi was all over the news going, come here, Fatso! And
I can picture like an old guy at the park, you know, trying to feed the pigeons or something, and here's these kids and grabbing them by the shirt collar. Come here, Fatso! But the mayor?
So did you just write a book? What book did you just write? About this or about other things?
Oh, no, it's about something else. Yeah,
it's about other things, but stories of what I went through with Finkbeiner are in the book.
They're in the book? Okay.
They are in the book, yes.
Well, before we get to that, I do want to say, so what were some of the things that you yourself, I mean, was there anything really bad that you had to try to put out? And have you ever sat back and thought, how would I have handled, like the airport debacle,
right?
Like, how, I mean, I wonder if you ever think, oh, I could have got him out of that.
Well, it was a tough gig because, you know, his mouth was always running, and you never knew what to expect. Every day was a new day, and you had to be ready for anything. The biggest controversy I got that I had to put out was, well, actually I was involved with it because this is back in the 2000s when everybody had a MySpace page. Okay. And I had a blog on MySpace, and a couple months into my tenure working for Finkbeiner, I wrote some stuff on my blog about him, saying that, you know, just talking about his temper and everything. And it was only for maybe like 10 people because I had it was a private blog. So what I did was I mentioned that I said in November of 2008 that Finkbeiner was digging his political grave. Well, fast forward to a couple months later, I think it was in May of 2009, I get a phone call from the newspaper in town saying, hey, are these your blog entries that have been posted on this website? And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And I look at it, and somebody had copied my blog entries and pasted them on this local political blog website. And so I got my ass handed to me for that because, you know, Finkbeiner's like, why the hell are you talking smack about me on the internet and everything? And so I had to eat some crow for that. That was the biggest controversy I had to endure. And he didn't fire me because everything I said in the blog was true, for one thing. And also, it's not like I was reviewing city secrets or anything like that. So a couple of the mayor's associates urged him to go easy on me. And I got laid off a couple months later, but I did not get fired at that time. But I talked to some smack about Cardi, and I got smacked across the mouth for it. So
you think he waited a couple months for it to die down before he laid you off?
Yeah. I don't know why he didn't fire me at the first sign of trouble, because frankly it would have been a mercy layoff, you know, at that time.
Put you out of your misery.
Yes. Yeah. I had a lot of sympathetic people when I worked for Finkbeiner, because he had, during his last tenure, he went through five different public information officers, including myself. Five.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he went through five of them. And just because it was a thankless job, you know, I mean, just, you know, I mean, the public information officer's main job is supposed to be to tell the people, you know, what's going on in the city. But Finkbeiner used the PIO position basically as his personal publicist. And it just got insane after a while. I mean, you know, I was there for 9.5 months, and at the end of it, man, like I said, I was, I got PTSD really bad, and you know, it was.
Well, now that you, you know, that you're away from it and can reflect, did he really have Toledo's best interest at heart, or was he just in it for the notoriety, or was there another ulterior motive,
what? That's a good question. I think that Cardi loves Toledo. Absolutely, he loves Toledo. Toledo is his great love. But I think that he was kind of like Larry David. I think he meant well, but just he was so
he was like
so socially stunted, and just so completely over the top that just. He just would get himself into these situations that you had to help him out of, you know.
Oh so, my God! Because he was just so passionate about it.
Yes, yes, and
that is the greatest analogy, though. I'm just gonna say. I mean, if writing a screenplay for the administration of Cardi Finkbeiner in Toledo had any kind of legs or potential, I could definitely see Larry David playing Cardi Finkbeiner.
Oh, I could too.
Absolutely. I mean, I could see. Now I'm picturing him grabbing the kid in the park and going, "Come here, fatso."
Well, he just had a poor choice of words. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of people would say, "Well, was he fat?" you know what I mean? Like, if that's an accurate description, what's the problem? Right? I know people like that.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh boy. Oh geez. So what's he doing? What's he doing now?
Well, right now, Finkbeiner is working with a consortium of former Toledo mayors, including Mike Bell and Donna Owens, and they're trying to fight crime in the city because Toledo's got a really bad crime rate right now. I think there've been like 60 people killed by in homicides this year.
Oh wow,
it's ridiculous, man. And so Finkbeiner is saying that the current mayor Wade Kapsakiewicz isn't doing enough to stop crime. So he got a whole bunch of the other mayors together to start up this citizens group where they advocate for like neighborhood watch and stuff like that. None of their ideas are really groundbreaking. They're not doing anything that the city isn't already doing. So I think it's just a way of keeping his name in the papers, basically, you know? So, Cardi knows how to work the media in a big way. He really knows how to work the media.
And you know, I don't want everybody to think we're bagging on Toledo, because Toledo is really a very cool town.
I mean, yeah, it is. It's God's moments.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Toledo Museum of Art is great. The Old West End, certain parts of that are back 20 some years ago when I was in Toledo a lot more. Is great. You know, Ottawa Hills is great. Tony Pato's. Yeah. The downtown at one point was being revitalized and stuff.
Yeah, it still is.
Yeah. So, I mean, Toledo's good. And look, from my childhood, I always remember the Toledo Gold Diggers. I mean, you talk about that was a hockey team. You guys probably don't even know. That was a hockey team. So it was in the IHL, I think. It was the minor league. And they played downtown in the Toledo Sports Arena. I believe. Yep. And that was huge yes. news for the time. And I need to get some Toledo Gold Digger merch. I know they got to have some somewhere. That's
I'm sure they do. Yeah. Right now we've got the hockey team is the Toledo Walleye, and they do a really nice job. So,
yeah. And towns like a city, I shouldn't say town, but cities like that, you know, that's a great part of their fabric is, you know, the Mud Hens are an institution, you know, yep. Like, could you even imagine Toledo without the Mud Hens?
Oh man, we'd be sunk.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. And I think, and it adds to the charm of those towns. But back now the crime part, and I don't want to bag on Detroit, but it's just down the road from Detroit. And that's, you know, I mean, that's probably where a lot of that comes from. Or vice versa, I guess. Maybe Toledoans are going to Detroit to commit crimes. but that brings us then, okay? Because I think I think we'll see maybe the parallel to. I gotta assume then this became your next job or one of your next jobs was working with the Insane Clown Posse.
Yep. Yeah,
so there will be a segment of people listening. They'll be like, "Who?" Or there'll be a segment of people raising up their glass of Faygo right now.
Yep. Going,
yeah, you know, and I know when I told the Howler about it, he had no idea what Faygo was, and I didn't realize it was such a regional drink.
Yes, but it's the Detroit pop Faygo. Yes,
Detroit pop, because we have it down here. I mean, I grew up with Faygo, so I just assumed it was. You know, like the more generic brand of you know, Pepsi, Coke, and great, you know, the Sunkist and all that other stuff because of the flavored soda. But tell us about being I'm just going to call you a member of the ICP.
Yeah, man. It's well, after I got laid off by Finkbeiner, I spent a couple years down in Dayton, Ohio, working for another mayor down there. And then I was freelance. I was a freelance writer when I was down in Dayton, and I wrote a story for the Metro Times in Detroit about this white rapper named Danny Kay. And Danny Kay was one of ICP's influences, but nobody had ever heard of Danny Kay. He was this
Danny not like Kaye, the, not like the old guy, Danny Kaye.
Right. No, this guy was right. This guy was a Caucasian rapper in the 80s in Detroit. So I wrote this article for the Metro Times, and it got the attention of Violent J up in St. Cloud Posse. And we started talking, and I just came up with a bunch of ideas to help improve the label. You know, I just came up with, you know, t-shirt ideas and ideas for putting their stuff on vinyl and everything. So they ended up hiring me in December of 2012, 10 years ago this year. And so I moved from Dayton up to Detroit, Farmington Hills, actually, which is a suburb of Detroit.
I used to work in Farmington Hills.
Oh, no shit. Oh, no kidding. That's great.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I worked, so I moved up to Farmington Hills, and it was, and then for 5 years, I was a professional juggalo. I was their director of public relations, is what it said on my business card. And I basically was just the spokesman for the label. It really was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. It was crazy. I did that for 5 years, and it was just nuts.
So for the people that are not familiar with the Insane Clown Posse, kind of describe who these guys are and how they, you know, what they do and their brand of music and their brand of entertainment. Because
sure,
I mean, there was a lot. I became familiar with them even before I was working up in Detroit. And I think was it through Howard Stern, maybe?
Yes, they've been on Howard Stern a number of times, yeah.
Okay. And so, so that's where I was, because they beefed with a lot of people. And whether it was legit or not, you know, I mean, I know how that works. But they were really like, it was great. I mean, they were on Stern and they were talking trash. And I mean, it was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was great radio when they were on Stern. Okay, so here's the primer for Insane Clown Posse. ICP is two guys, Violent J and Shaggy Tudo. They're from Oak Park, Michigan. And in the late 80s, early 90s, they formed this rap group. And they dressed themselves up as clowns, basically. And I mean, it's a long story, but the basic gist of it is that their style of music is called horrorcore rap, and they rap about serial killers, they rap about horror movie stuff. It's very, very dark, it's very scary, and their big gimmick is that they take hundreds of 2 liters of Faygo pop and they throw it all over the audience.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So they're kind of like guar in the sense that where the audience is going to get wet, and
or Gallagher,
yes, or Gallagher, yes,
a demented Gallagher.
They've been doing this since this is the 30th anniversary of ICP this year.
They
did their first album as ICP in 1992, Carnival Carnage, and. Yeah, it's been for 30 years. They've been just doing this this shtick, and people still love it. Every year, they hold the annual gathering of the Juggalos, which is a big music festival in near Columbus, Ohio. And it's a worldwide empire. It really is.
I was, you know, and I knew they were popular, but you didn't really, because I mean, they don't seem super mainstream because there's no radio airplay. But I mean, these dudes got a couple platinum albums.
Yeah, I mean, that's they have two platinum, albums and two gold albums.
That's no joke. I mean, that's and you're talking from back in the day when that was a legit million albums sold.
Yes, you
know, that's an incredible feat. Like nobody does that today. It's, I mean, of course, with streaming and stuff, it's nearly impossible. But just to sell a million, I mean, because they're not getting, they were never getting mainstream love.
No, you know? they have always been underground, and they're still underground. Even at their most popular, which was in like from 97 until 99 or 2000, that was probably their peak year. Speaking commercially, that's where they had two back to back platinum albums. They made a movie that was really well received.
And they made a movie? I do not remember the movie.
They've done two movies, actually. Big Money Hustlers and Big Money Rustlers. And they are available on streaming. I think they're on Prime Video right now, but they're hilarious. And
I have to check those out.
Yes, there are ICP movies out there.
That's crazy. And, yep. And then they were big, like in wrestling and stuff too.
Yeah, they founded their own wrestling federation, Juggalo Championship Wrestling, JCW, and that's been around since 2001, and 21 years later, it's still going strong.
Holy smokes! So what? So what were, I mean, like when they reached out to you, were you like apprehensive or were you like, I'm just going to do this. This seems cool. I mean, because I don't know, is that your kind of music? Is that something you enjoyed?
Oh yes. I'm a juggalo. Absolutely. I'm a juggalo.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I've been a juggalo since 97 when I first heard the Great Malenko. And, so yeah, I mean, I went to them for the job. I mean, I basically just went for it, you know. I just I knew I could help them and from a PR point of view, and I knew it was going to be crazy, but I figured after working for Cardi, I could handle anything.
That's what I was trying to figure out. So one would think, because you know, anybody that's read anything about entertainment realizes entertainers can be passionate, fluid individuals that you don't know where they're going to go.
That's right.
And you would think that it would be easier to work for a Midwestern mayor than it would be a crazy rap group, right? But
right.
You're saying it's easier to work for them than it was Cardi.
Yes, it was.
And I don't know these guys, but they're probably not crazy at all. You know, they're probably down to earth dads, and
it's the act. Once the director says action, it's
when they're on, you know, I mean, when they put on the face paint, when they're throwing the Faygo, when they're singing about serial killers and murder, yeah, it's a shtick, you know. Off stage, both guys are really great. They both have egos because they're celebrities, so they have egos. But I never really, in the 5 years I worked for them, I never really, it was a tough job, but I never really had any kind of personal beef with either of those guys or anything. They were always very nice to me. I used to butt heads a lot with their CEO, Bill Dale, but who was basically running the whole ship, but I had a lot of respect for him. So, you know, but it was hard work. I mean, you had to do everything from unload, pallets of Faygo from the truck. And, it was exhausting. I mean,
how much do they now? I mean, how big is Faygo itself? Like, who owns and runs and distributes Faygo? And
well, Faygo is still huge in the Detroit area. I mean, you can't get a bigger there's no bigger drink.
Because it's a grape drink. Tell about because yes. my listeners. So it's a grape drink, like just a grape soda.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's all kinds of soda, right? It's grape and orange and red and
yeah,
right? Yeah.
So it's just a name brand, but it's yes. colored soda.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Beer, but there's dead root beer and
oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The here's some inside trivia. When ICP is on stage and they're throwing the Faygo, they always throw Diet Faygo Cola and Diet Faygo Root Beer. It has to be diet because the sugar from regular Faygo eats away at their props, their foam rubber props.
Oh gosh.
So
what's that tell you about drinking it?
Yeah, exactly. But I was responsible for ordering all of the Faygo from the company. And
so did they cut them a break since they were buying so much or using so much?
Yeah, they did. Because we always would buy it in bulk, and so we got some kind of discount on it and everything. And you know, I would always call over there, and they always would tease me every time I'd call over there, because they always would be like, "Okay, how much Faygo do you need this time?" And I'm like, "I need 4 pallets." And they'd be like, "Is that for one show?" I'm like, "Yes, it's for one show," because they would go through hundreds and hundreds of 2 liters of Faygo every show. It was just nuts.
So how were they spraying? How were they dispersing this?
Well, they would. there's an art form to a throwing Faygo. They would open up the top of the bottle, you shake it up, and then which creates kind of like a rocket.
Sure.
Yeah, and everything stuff, and then they just take that and just hurl it out into the crowd, or they kick it. And
so there's hundreds of people in this crowd
yes.
getting soda slung on them, and they love it.
They love it. They absolutely love it. Yep. And
I remember as a kid, Faygo was the 2 liter you could go get for like 69 cents a 2 liter.
Yeah.
Like growing up.
Yep. I think the 2 liters are now like, I think they raised the price up to like $1.50 or something like that, but it's still that's... the ghetto pop.
Oh, that's still dirt cheap. Still.
Yep.
We call it affordable. We don't use the term ghetto here. It's affordable. Because mm-hmm. some of our listeners are less fortunate. Actually, a lot of our listeners are less fortunate, which is why they have time to sit and listen to us.
Right.
So, I really like to think that they're planners. They're planning. You know, there's two kinds of people, those who do and never think, and those who think and never do. Our audience are thinkers. And sometimes they overthink, and then they just wait for tomorrow. They're procrastinators. So, and tomorrow, of course, tomorrow never comes.
Right.
Oh God. So other than being the Faygo guy, like what are some of your fondest memories of being out there doing some of that stuff with those guys?
Well, in 2017, we actually marched on Washington, D.C. There was, if you go to Wikipedia, look up Juggalo March. There's an article in there about what happened when ICP went to Washington. And in 2000...
What were they going there for?
Okay, I'll tell you. In 2011, the Department of Justice came out with this gang force task list. And Juggalos were listed as a gang in America.
Oh, right, gosh.
Juggalos were listed along next to Crips, Bloods, Aryan Brotherhood, Latin Counts, all of the great gangs of America. And Juggalos were lumped in with those other gangs. But at first, ICP was kind of amused by it because it's like, okay, we're a gang now. Okay, whatever. But it quickly turned into not a laughing matter because a lot of Juggalos were getting harassed by cops and FBI agents for just doing absolutely nothing. I mean, you could be pulled over for having a Hatchet Man sticker or an ICP sticker on your car, and it happened all the time.
Holler, he is downplaying this because Jason is in the Wikipedia article as the guy who organized the march.
Yep, I did.
Well, I think if anything else, the last few weeks with the Twitter chronicles, we have seen that apparently some of those who was the Just the Facts guy back in the old Dragnet guy? Who's the Dragnet guy?
Joe Friday.
Yes, apparently the educated Joe Fridays that went to law school and run the Department of Justice apparently cannot recognize satire.
No,
because did you see those thousands of satire accounts that they flagged? And it's like, hey, no. And then they didn't flag the international terrorism accounts because they didn't have enough interpreters to really know what those guys were saying. So right. You could say death to America, but you can't say let's throw some grape drink.
Yep. Yeah, you know? Exactly. I mean, juggalos were getting harassed by cops everywhere, and juggalos were being denied for military service because they had ICP tattoos, because the military was saying that they were gang insignias. There's a great documentary about the whole thing called The United States of Insanity, which I'm in, actually. You can stream that on Tubi. But check it out. It's a wonderful documentary about the whole FBI versus ICP thing.
And everybody, right after you stream The United States of Insanity on Tubi, go stream Escape from Death Block 13 because it's still going strong on Tubi. Okay, little side.
Hey,
so
you organized this march on Washington.
Yes, sir.
And what happened? You didn't get there January 6th, did you? If you did, you need to quit talking.
Nope, it wasn't there January 6th. I was responsible for like getting all the permits for the march and everything, and mapping out the march routes.
So you were such a lawbreaker, you got the permit.
Yes, exactly. And
it's a good way to infiltrate them and keep their guard down.
That's right. So it was September 16th or 17th of 2017. And we all drove to DC, and ICP spoke at the right in front of the Lincoln Memorial at approximately the same spot where Abby Hoffman.
Exactly.
That's actually what I was going for, because I didn't know where the hell to do the march. You know, I had to make all this shit up on my own, and I'm like, all right, well, I haven't been to DC since I was a kid, so where can they march? All right, we'll march around the Washington Monuments and go to the Lincoln Memorial, and it worked out really good. You know, ICP spoke. They also did a concert that night in front of the Lincoln Memorial with Faygo and everything, which was a great moment in American history as far as I'm concerned.
Is that on video somewhere, or where can we see that at?
It's on YouTube, and there's footage of it in the United States of Insanity, the documentary.
That's fantastic. We'll have to have the super producer put a link up to that. That's pretty interesting. I mean, that's a great story.
Yeah, thanks.
I had no idea.
So did they take you off of the
march?
So did they take you off the hit list, or what? How did it end up?
Well, what happened was the FBI got so much bad press from this that they stopped doing the gang list altogether. Now, they never formally took juggalos off the list, but they stopped publishing the list. So, and since then, juggalos have not complained about law enforcement messing with them or anything like that. So we consider the march to have been a success, because after that, reports of juggalos being harassed went from quite a few to almost none. So the march definitely worked in our favor.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, yes, that's pretty awesome. I didn't.
Yeah, it was.
I had no idea about that. I mean, yeah, kudos to you for putting that together and making.
Well, thanks,
it,
man.
Making it work. I mean, it can't be easy for sure.
But, no, it wasn't. But it was cool. It was cool. It's cool to be a part of American history, however dubious, you know. So.
Now, do you? So you have no problem driving around in your van with Juggalo and ICP stickers all over it, then, right?
Right. Nobody. I have not heard of anybody getting pulled over for that stuff in years. So
I mean, I got. I remember I was at the corner of. I lived in Ann Arbor. I had, you know, heard about the Insane Clown Posse and stuff, and on Stern, because when I lived in Massachusetts, I listened to Stern all the time. So
sure.
You'd hear them on. And I remember the first time it dawned on me that I was in their home turf, so to yep. speak. I was at the gas station there, at the corner of Washtenaw and Washtenaw Avenue, and I can't remember the other road right before 23, I think. And I looked, and there was this little Dodge Neon. And it was an Insane Clown Posse sticker on it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'd forgotten all about those guys. And then as I worked, I worked in Farmington Hills at the Enterprise Rent-A-Car and at a couple places in Novi and Farmington Hills. And so you really began to understand what a culture there was up in Detroit with music and stuff, you know, and the sports and yeah. stuff, and how cool it was that people were doing stuff and getting notoriety. And, yeah, that's kind of like my first exposure to that kind of, that you could do something like that, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, ICP is very much an all-American rags to riches tale. I mean, they're still blue collar Detroit guys. You know, and
now, how's their relationship with Eminem?
Pretty much non-existent. They did have some beef with Eminem back in the early 2000s, which resulted in Eminem and ICP dissing each other on albums and stuff. But they were actually on Shade 45, Eminem's Sirius radio show. They were on Shade 45 a couple years ago with Sway. So obviously Eminem doesn't have any beef with ICP, otherwise he wouldn't let them on his radio station. So, yeah,
okay, I got you.
So Eminem has its own radio station, a radio show up here?
Eminem?
He has his own channel on Sirius XM, I think, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, it's Shade 45 or Shady 45, one or the other.
How do you get your own radio station?
I don't know.
Well, you got to be a lot more famous than us.
There you go. Well, I'm not asking for a station. I just want an hour or two.
Well, I don't know. Hey, it'll take somebody hearing us and saying, you know, these guys could kill some time. We'll put them on. So we want to hear the holler ask about the book you had written, and I think you're also writing another book. So give us a little bit about the book you wrote and where people can find it, and then give us a preview of what's coming up.
Sure. The book I wrote came out 2 years ago. It's called Purple Bananas. And it's all about me growing up as a Prince fan. I grew up in a really, really messed up family. I'm adopted. My parents were abusive. It was just kind of a tough upbringing, but I discovered Prince when I was a kid, and his music got me through life basically. So the book is all about just going through life, with Prince's music as like a guiding light. So there's stories in there about me working for ICP. There are stories in there about me working for Cardi, and in the background, there's always Prince. And so that's what the book is about, basically. It's got really good reviews. And I'm actually talking to a celebrity right now I'm trying to get him to do the audiobook. I can't say who it is right now because I don't want to jinx it, but there might be an audiobook coming out next year of it. And I won a gold medal from Reader's Favorites for the book, which was great. And my next book is called Mr. Fantastic Bastard.
The Ozark Howler autobiography?
Nope.
Yeah, I was just thinking that myself.
But Mr. Fantastic Bastard is another memoir of basically meet me growing up as a mischievous kid and everything, just all the crazy crap that I got involved in. It's just nuts. That's coming out I believe next year, and I'm talking to a publisher to put that out. So yeah.
Well, I hope. What was that called? Purple Bananas.
Purple Bananas. Yeah.
Purple Bananas, and I mean I know what the reference is. I don't, you know, it's from Let's Go Crazy, right? Slipping
That's
on
right.
Purple Banana yes. Peel. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sorry. Yep. Sorry, I'm a lyric geek, but you know.
No, I am too. That's great. Yeah.
Howler's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I spent a little time in Minneapolis. I got a special place in my heart for Prince.
Right on. And the time, Morris Day, you know.
I remember the day he passed away. I lived in Minneapolis when the day he passed away, and it was probably bigger than the Kennedy assassination.
Oh my goodness.
I can believe it. And it's what's crazy is Jason, you're sitting there talking about how Prince got you through, and people of our age will remember like how huge Prince and you know, dare I say, Michael Jackson and Bruce Springsteen,
yep.
Like Madonna, when those guys came out and the impact music really had on our lives. And you know, you either, you know, those are the days where you went and got an album.
That's because you only had three TV stations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember
listening to Cardi Fake Fire.
My kids will say something sometimes, especially my youngest. And my older brother belonged to one of those cassette tape clubs where they would send him a, you know what I mean?
Columbia House. Yeah.
Columbia House, baby. You know, like Styx and Van Halen 1984. And I remember sitting there with a boombox. My old man had give us this, you know what a boombox is, right? I was explaining this
to my youngest
the day. He was making fun of me. And I was like, dude, that was you could watch daytime soap operas, right? You could watch soap operas, or you could listen to the boombox, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was your choices. Or go, hey, pick up rocks, cut grass, cut some wood. You don't want to sit in here and listen to the boombox? Go pick up rocks or cut wood.
You know, sounds
that was your choices.
But I started running through like some of those Prince deep cuts in my head, and I'm like, man, I wonder how that song got him through life. I wonder how that song got him through.
It's all in the book, man. It's I mentioned a lot. There's a lot of Prince songs that just got me through. I mean, I remember the day that Cardi got onto me about my blog entries. I remember just humming "When Doves Cry," and I'm sitting there in my office, and I'm just like, you know. Why do we scream at each other? This is what sounds like when doves cry. It's just.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. I think that just that idea, you know, from people in our generation will resonate, because like I said, that I know a lot of people that spent a lot of time digging into that music and really, and how, like you said, how it changed their lives and got them through different things. And I don't think kids these days understand that.
No, I don't think they do either.
But, wow. I'll tell you what, Jason, I'm glad, however you showed up on my feed, I'm glad you did. This was fantastic. You know, talking about Mayor Finkbeiner and exposing some of our fans to the insane clown posse, because I'm not sure that everybody's going to love that music, but I
no, probably not.
they'll appreciate, you know, the hard work and the theatrics and showmanship that goes into it. But that I was totally taken by surprise. You talking about that march? I mean, that's fantastic. That's that, like you said, being part of American history. And that is, I mean, that is American history. You put something together and made an impact on something you believed in and did it the right way, you know, did it the right way and got people's attention. I think that's, I applaud that effort. Even though it's a couple years late, I applaud that effort because that's the way it should be done. You know, you should be able to go and speak your mind and do it in a peaceful way. And that's how you're going to get your point across.
Yes. You know? Yeah. It was that was a great day. I mean, it was, all of us were completely bewildered that we were there. And it's like, what are we doing here in D.C.? You know, I mean, you're standing in the shadow of the Washington Monument and you're just like, wow, this is.
I mean, you're right there where Martin Luther King, right? I had a dream speech, right? And it's like, yeah, you're in the shadows of some of the greatest stuff that's happened, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. No, it was a wonderful experience. I'm really glad that I got a chance to be a part of it.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us for a little while.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I hope people go check out your book and keep a lookout for the next one. But, you know, we'll try to put a link up for Purple Bananas. I mean, I'm sure it's, is it available on Amazon or is it?
Yes, it's available. It is available on Amazon, both as a Kindle and a paperback.
Okay, we'll make sure to. I'll make sure to get the super producer put a link up for that. So,
but, thank you.
But Holler, you got any?
No, I tell you, I really like. You know, I spent some time out there in that neighborhood, Ohio, Indiana. You know, a good friend of mine used to live in Ann Arbor. He's passed now, but so you know, it's wild. There's these little. It's little places in America are like their own little Americas, whether it be the soda brand or the music or different things. It's like their own little Americas.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what makes America great.
That's right.
Well, I wish all our listeners, no matter where you're at, a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Yep. And Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Well, we might have an episode. I think we're going to take.
Yeah, I think we'll have a New Year's episode. Yeah,
mm-hmm. We got to have a New Year's episode. Our fans probably will not be able to ring in the New Year without something. So, but Jason, thank you so much. And
well, thank you guys.
And we'll stay in touch because I think we have a lot in common, and I think gotta get back into drinking Faygo. I just got it.
All right. Whoop, whoop.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.